You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
Good afternoon and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock on a beautiful Wednesday afternoon in East Tennessee. Hey, how you doing? Well, I hope. We got a baller show lined up for you here this afternoon, folks. We are going to get into it. We are going to get granular this afternoon as we continue to break down Tennessee and Creighton in the Sweet 16, a monumental moment in the career of one Richard Dale Barnes and the history of Tennessee basketball. And very interesting, we're going to hear from Greg McDermott here in just a minute, the head coach at Creighton.
Ooh. We hear him every day.
Well, that we do.
7 to 10 a.m.
So you're booing our morning host, is what you're saying.
No, I like Bob. I kind of like
– You taking a shot at Bobby Baskerville?
Never. I kind of like Greg, too. Not this week.
He's a little likable.
He's likable. He's a likable coach.
He had some interesting comments on the late tip-off time. I just stumbled across this interview he did last night with the Field of 68.
Field of 68. Yeah.
And, pretty engaging interview. And, you know, he was going on and on about the late tip. So that made me feel like I wasn't just a whiny old man and all that stuff.
And that's not even as late for them.
Yeah, well, they're coming off the two overtime game. He said they basically didn't sleep Sunday night.
Oh, they had two starters played 50 minutes.
He's look, we didn't really practice at all earlier in the week.
And the NCAA will not hold a flight after – a Sweet 16 round up to the – a first round, two games. Now, after a national championship,
they won't hold a flight.
You fly out that night.
They flew out that night?
Yeah.
They won't let you spend the night?
Right. Not in the first two rounds.
So those kids, they force those kids to get on
He made it sound like they spent the night. I don't know. I'll let you listen to it.
That would surprise me.
Mark Nagy is going to join the festivities here in just a moment.
I'm a little nervous about this one.
And he might have some interesting insight because, I mean, he worked in TV for so long. And, you know, my big question here is 10 p.m. is – I'm a night owl. Like, I'm usually up past midnight anyway, but I'm winding down at 10 p.m. I'm not wanting to start a new movie or a new game or whatever after 10 o'clock. And so I can't imagine that Joe Random out there, the guy they're trying to get who's living in Dallas or whatever, are they really going to – I know it's 9 o'clock there, but are they really going to be staying up that late? Average viewer in New York City, in Tampa, are they going to be staying up to watch Tennessee and Creighton until after midnight?
I would not think the casuals, no. But it is a 2-3 matchup, so I think your basketball fans would maybe – stay up later.
Here's the one thing, and it kids. I mean, how are kids supposed to? I mean,
that's a good question. Yeah.
Well, especially tomorrow night.
Because when they like baseball did this, like back in the 80s when I was, you know, teenage years, like
World Series would be on at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Hell yeah, it would. It was incredible.
Yeah.
How are you going to grow your game? I don't know. It just seems like.
Well, Mark will be an interesting guy to talk to about this as he has some insight from working in television, certainly still has context there. Then coming up in hour number three this afternoon, Tony Vitello makes his triumphant return to The Drive, and thank God we won that game last night.
Amen, brother.
The monkey off our back.
I'm going to figure out how to beat Tennessee Tech after all these years.
2 years of midweek frustration come to an end with a run rule.
Yeah, hammered him. Last night.
Without our best bat in the lineup, thank you very much.
Smashed. Smashed! Did y'all catch the highlights from the Florida LSU game from this weekend? Things got...
Yeah, a little chippy. Florida took what, two out of three?
Yeah. They went like almost full late 80s, early 90s, Major League Baseball level of.
Did they have a brawl? Somebody get plunked? What happened?
A crotch got grabbed and some choice words were said back to a pitcher. While somebody was grabbing his, you know.
Speaking of grabbing, anybody know where I'm going with this?
No clue. No.
Did you see my tweet from over the weekend, what happened to the Vandy boys?
Oh, yeah. What the hell was that? Whatever happened there?
The Vandy boys was like, I mean, he was digging deep. One of his buddies
like
there.
Vito Spadafore.
There was nothing normal about that grab.
No, going up the old dirt road.
It went from good game to Moon River. It was a little sketch.
Moon River.
Is that a Fletch reference?
That's right.
Nice.
Big Chevy Chase fan over here.
Wow. Let's hear from Greg McDermott. This is Creighton's coach talking. Remember, they had the double overtime thriller after our game Saturday night against Oregon. So they're up late, and then they've got to come back in the quick turnaround to get ready for Tennessee.
We didn't do anything really today with the guys that played big minutes. You know, we got a few shots up and walked through some things, but you know, I had three guys basically play 50 minutes in that game. And, you know, you don't get to the hotel till 1:30, but you play in a game like that and the adrenaline and the excitement, like our guys didn't sleep at all that night. So, you know, fortunately we're playing a Friday game, which gives us that extra day. So we'll still get three good days of prep work on Tennessee. But, you know, I'm frankly a little surprised at some of these start times, you know, especially this coming weekend. I think the game before us is, you know, whatever it is, it's 7:37 or 7:40. Like, there's no way we're tipping off till after 10 o'clock. And, you know, the winner of that game could turn around and have to play in the middle of the afternoon on Sunday after getting back into your hotel room at 1:30 or 2 in the morning. And, you know, in this era of doing right by student-athletes, that doesn't fit into the student-athlete welfare piece to me very well.
So let's break that down here for a second. So that interview was yesterday. So he's referring to Monday. They didn't do anything. And I guess they did travel back Sunday. So, I mean, surely they did something. I don't know. Maybe it was taped. He said they didn't do anything for a day and that they'll have three prep days for Tennessee. So I guess that's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then the game on Friday. He says that after that thrilling double overtime game against Oregon, their guys are so wired that they don't sleep at all. I think it's interesting that he admits that as a coach. And then they travel back and they're resting, I guess, on Sunday. And then they don't do much on Monday because he had a couple of guys play 50 minutes or whatever. So if it's that hard to wind down, and I can empathize with that because how many times have we talked about Bear doing voluntary reaction and we're done at 1 a.m. or whatever, 2 a.m. football game, and we cannot go to sleep.
Mm-mm.
People think, oh, they just like it's 1 o'clock. I turn it off. I'm in bed 5 minutes later.
I'll watch a movie sometimes.
I need like at least an hour, at least usually an hour and a half, 2 hours to wind down after a voluntary reaction because my mind is just racing and I'm spent and it's a weird feeling. And we're just sitting around on our couches talking on our phones.
Yeah.
Like these guys are playing basketball and he's basically saying like they can't go to sleep.
No, you're too amped up. Adrenaline, cortisol.
And then the second part of that is he's talking about we get, you know, whoever wins this game, Tennessee Creighton, Friday, is going to get back to the hotel at 1:30 a.m.-ish on the wee hours of Saturday morning.
If they're lucky, yeah.
And then you have – so you're going to want to let your guys have plenty of sleep. You probably won't ring those alarms until 9 or 10 the next day. And then you got to get right to work on your Elite Eight opponent, work all day on that, get back, and then you're playing probably Sunday afternoon sometime. So, like, think about what these NCAA and the TV people are making these kids do of work so hard for this and just the quick turnaround and how tired you're probably going to be. I guess the only good thing is it's not like the winner of Purdue and Gonzaga is going to have – they'll basically have a two-hour
break, yeah,
on you.
I know, when something like this comes up, that's when I point to tell me again – this billion-dollar deal you've got going right now that you can't afford to pay the people who are the show.
Well, I just
any
think
cut
in of, terms of the product, the quality term. Of the product is like we. I want the best representation possible. I don't want to think that I turn on this ball game Sunday if we're fortunate enough to win, and think that either side is in any way compromised because they're tired or underprepared for the game.
Because of TV.
Yeah, a couple of suits thought, let's tip this game off at 10:30 Friday night.
Well, yeah, and John, we were talking with John Reed earlier. He thinks it might be 2 p.m. for Sunday. I mean, you go till about 2 a.m. on Saturday, yeah, essentially, and then you got, what, I mean, you'd hope they'd get 8-9 hours of sleep. Well, I mean, that really cuts your prep time down.
I think casuals might listen to this and say, what are you guys whining about? These are highly conditioned college athletes. They'll be fine. They'll get up for it. The way these modern athletics programs, pro college, prioritize sleep. I was listening to an interview about Ohtani. Like, he's like, yeah, I have to get 10 hours of sleep. It's basically why he got himself into this mess, is because he delegated all his everything that's not baseball,
yeah,
to this Ipe guy, and he's paying his bills. He's doing everything so that Ohtani can just eat, sleep, breathe baseball, and he's got to get 10 hours every night, or he's not ready for a baseball game, which is not nearly as physically rigorous as a basketball game. And, like, I mean, I hope these guys are able to get their rest and be at peak performance, because ultimately that's what I want to see as a fan, is knowing that both of these teams are at their zenith. They are prepared. They're ready to go. And, I mean, who is ready to do anything physically at 10:30 at night at the end of a week?
Nobody is. So not dumb, even kids. Man. I mean, it's just it's not going to – like you said, you don't want to have this game in the back of your mind wondering, is one of these teams compromised because of a strictly TV deal?
Yeah.
I mean, it gets away from the roots of it. I miss it, these games. I don't know. The last game should probably start no later than 8 or 8:30, I think.
By the way, somebody does point out, McDermott even sounds like Baskerville.
Has been a little similar.
Talk the same.
I thought the same thing as I'm listening. I'm like, really, not that dissimilar.
All right, big show this afternoon. I'm excited to talk to Vitello. I'm so glad they won last night, so that he'll be in a good mood.
Would have been tough. Hey, buddy. Good to hear from you.
All right.
Are you going to ask him about your batting order questions?
About, you know, how you're always so critical
of
his
are.
Decisions, and I have to talk you down from the ledge? You yeah, we'll talk about that.
Shouts out Charlie Taylor, 0 for 3 last night, but an RBI.
Just one question I have for him is Rhys Chapman earning some more time on the weekend now? He goes 4 for 4 last night. He's been crushing the ball here lately. And we got a logjam in the outfield.
Whose bat's not hot out there right now?
Great question. It's not Tears. It's not Dylan Dreiling. I don't think Ensley is playing terribly at all. He's one of your senior leaders in the program right now.
He's got a lot of trust in Ensley, doesn't he?
Who do we – like, what does the starting lineup look like? I guess we're just sticking with Causey, Beam, and then bullpen? Johnny Holstaff on Sundays?
It appears that way for the time being.
Who got the start last Sunday? Was it Sechrist? Did Sechrist get Sunday? Yeah.
You guys nervous about our bullpen?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think Tony is. The last time we had him on, he basically said he would be willing to trade
one of his hitters for
a pitcher. So, and it hasn't gotten better since then. So, yeah, I think it's fair to say. Quick timeout. It is The Drive, Fan Run Radio. Mark Nagy, TDOT Community Relations Officer, former Knoxville TV personality, frequent podcast guest and host.
Wrote a pretty good book right here.
Award-winning author, all-around good dude, a true Renaissance man, joins us when we continue next here on Fan Run Radio. That's Mark Nagy's music. Harvester of sorrow, harbinger of doom. Wait, why are we having him on this week? We want to win Friday.
I didn't want to say anything earlier when you sent me the text. Typically, you always ask me.
I always forget. Why couldn't you just play some lighthearted? This is all your fault, Bear. Welcome in The Drive. It's Fan Run Radio. Mark Nagy of TDOT joining us on the phones this afternoon. Hello, Mark. How are you, sir?
Russell, Bear, it's great to talk to you guys. You really should have had me out when Tennessee is, like, playing directional Kentucky. You know, this is one of the biggest weeks in the history of Tennessee basketball.
It's been a long time since something bad has happened. What's the worst that could happen? I mean, it's...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's not like Mark has any direct control over the outcome of any UT athletic event.
No, I'm just the
chronicler of doom.
Chronicler of doom, the recorder of history.
I think you get a bad rap, Mark. You're also you're a pretty darn good grief counselor for this fan base. You know, you walk us through the stages.
We haven't had to utilize those services in a long time, though. It's a good thing.
You know?
No, that's why during this entire run, the past few years, I've always said that people need to remember that they're in the good old days right now.
Yep.
You know, I think that, you know, Tennessee athletics in the 90s was so good that people kind of, in a way, took it for granted.
Yep.
I mean, I can remember this specifically. 2003, Tennessee shares the SEC East title, loses on a tie break with Georgia and Florida, ends up playing in the Peach Bowl, back when the Peach Bowl wasn't as big of a deal, lost to Clemson. But Tennessee won 10 games in that regular season, and people were pissed. A 10-win season in college football, and people are like, well, it's a disappointing year. So I think that people should always enjoy the good times when they are there, because they never last forever.
Remember when Cutcliffe came back in 06 and we went 9-3, and I think we won the bowl game? And it felt pretty good after going 5-6, our first losing season in forever the year before.
Magic was back a little bit.
And then the next year, they went 9-3, exact same record. And I think we played in the conference championship game and lost to LSU.
Yeah.
And then after, you know, we felt awful. It was just, a 9-win season in which you played for the conference championship. And we were walking around going, I don't know, that wasn't much fun. When are we going to take that next step?
And won the bowl game. They ended up winning the Outback Bowl after that. And they came within a quarter of winning the SEC title. So, you know, I think that, you know, you look at Nebraska all those years, you look at Tennessee some of those years, you just always expect the wins to continue and the good times to roll for infinity, and it just doesn't work that way. So I hope that people appreciate what Tennessee athletics is, and I hope they appreciate this basketball team. No matter what happens this week, it's been a terrific year with some really good kids on that team. They've won a conference championship. They're in the Sweet 16. So I do hope that people are enjoying the ride.
Mark, as someone who worked in TV for many years, help me walk through why this game is tipping off after 10 p.m. We were talking about this in our opening segment. I'm pretty much a night owl, Mark. I generally don't go to bed until after midnight, but I'm usually winding down by 10 p.m., and, like, this just feels to me, I understand all these things are TV-driven, but is there really, are they hoping, and Tennessee fans will watch whenever, Creighton fans will watch whenever, the hardcore basketball junkies will watch whenever, but is there a huge audience on the Eastern time zone going to be staying up until past midnight to watch this game?
No, I think that you're going to get really big numbers no matter what. I mean, the tournament has had a huge viewership jump even this year. But it's like they think that they're going to watch the earlier games most. I mean, this is Tennessee-Creighton is the eighth of the eight games out of these 2 days that will tip off. I mean, this is going to get done considerably after midnight. But this is exactly what happened when Tennessee lost to Ohio State that Bruce Pearl year, where if Tennessee had won that game, they would have played Memphis in the Elite Eight. So this is nothing new. It's just this time the cycle worked out that Tennessee is this late game. And I was looking at the games that are being played in L.A. the day before, and they're tipping off at like 4:30 and 7 o'clock local time in L.A., whereas, you know, this game for the Tennessee fans that care about it is tipping off after 10 o'clock. What if that earlier game goes into overtime? I mean, this game could be tipping off at 10:35, 10:40. So it's not ideal, but it is what it is. And I think the problem is that you're tuning, there's an entire generation of sports fans that will miss out on things like this. I mean, remember baseball, when they put all their World Series games at night, you know, not starting until like 8:20, 8:30, mm-hmm. that you had so many kids that never watched World Series games because of that. And that's one of the reasons why baseball has struggled to stay near the top of the heap in terms of television viewership. So it's a shame, but, you know, it is what it is at the end of the day.
So this is all TV network executives, the conference commissioners, the folks at the NCAA, they have no say in this. They've hired CBS to broadcast these games. They make the decisions. They're not consulted at all.
I think that even if they said the NCAA may make a call and talk to them a little bit, but at the end of the day, the television networks are the ones paying the billions of dollars for this thing. So it isn't like the NCAA can put their foot down in any of these times and say, nope, we can't have these games tipping off this late. So it's also Good Friday. People are not working. A lot of people are not working that day. You could have put all of these games even a little bit earlier, but, you know, I mean, it's the TV executives. They think that they know best. I mean, remember the college football playoff, they were playing games on New Year's Eve for a while, and still do, I guess, and people aren't watching at those times. So, you know, we really have no other choice but to deal with it.
I wonder if they're doing it for that reason, Mark, just because they know that typically on Good Friday people aren't out partying. They're going to be at home.
If they're having these meetings and they're not considering, gee, I don't know, man, we're asking these finely tuned athletes to tip off late, there's no chance they're also taking into consideration the religious practices of Christian America.
But what they would take into consideration is that more people will be at home on that Friday night than any. I guess they think they can keep. The audience will be there.
Maybe the game should be halted and we just have a full-on theological discussion about religion and its place in our society. I think that would be extremely interesting.
Amen.
Instead of watching this basketball.
I like our chances with Rick Barnes at the head of our program. That's all I got to say.
No, that's a really good point. That's an excellent point. If you're looking at somebody who's got a more of a direct line to the big guy,
yes.
Upstairs, then I think you want to have Rick Barnes on your sideline.
If it's a contest of piety, we've already won. Mark Nagy with us this afternoon here on Fan Run Radio. Mark, if Tennessee wins Friday night, is there any possible argument against Rick Barnes surpassing Bruce Pearl as the best coach of the modern era at Tennessee?
You know, I think a case can be made that he's already there. I mean, you look at what Bruce Pearl accomplished at Tennessee, you look at what Rick Barnes has accomplished at Tennessee, and Bruce Pearl got, you know, a regular season title, never won an NCAA tournament title. Did get to one Elite Eight. That's pretty much the only thing I think right now that can make that argument that Bruce Pearl should be held in higher esteem in the history of Tennessee men's basketball. But no, I think if Rick Barnes gets to an Elite Eight, then that should close that door. But, you know, Rick Barnes needs a Final Four. I mean, I hear that argument all the time. I mean, he's still a Hall of Fame coach. He still got to a Final Four. It's not easy to get to Final Fours. Obviously, Tennessee and Xavier are the two best programs in the history of college basketball that haven't been there. You know who else hasn't been to a Final Four yet? Creighton. So there's just so much to this game for historical purposes, for the present day, for the legacy of Rick Barnes and these players. I mean, this is just a gargantuan weekend.
Mark Nagy with us this afternoon. Mark, Kentucky decides to keep John Calipari. I don't think it's a great sign when your athletics director has to go to Twitter late on a Wednesday night confirming that, yes, they are bringing you back for another season. 22 losses the last two seasons. Big buyout. The right decision for Kentucky to continue to roll with Cal, or are they just postponing the inevitable?
Maybe no and yes. I think that that buyout is just so much. I mean, I know it's not Jimbo Fisher buyout money, but the amount of money that Kentucky basketball brings in as opposed to what Texas A&M football could bring in, and the boosters that you have at Texas A&M compared to what you have at Kentucky, and it just kind of makes sense. Calipari's system just does not work now when it comes to postseason play, and he's stubborn enough that he's not going to change. He said that he will. He has not yet. And I think that Kentucky fans, if they're honest with themselves, can say that this has been Calipari from the get-go. I mean, remember after his first year when they had that great team with John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins, and they had five players drafted in the first round. And Calipari said that was the greatest night in the history of Kentucky basketball. And that just shows you that he does not get it. Or not as much that he doesn't get it, but that's just not what he wants. It's not what he's trying to get these kids to the NBA, and that's fine. But the Kentucky fan base is concerned about winning titles and Final Fours, and while if those kids get to the NBA, great, but they're more concerned about what happens, you know, in Lexington as opposed to what happens in Atlanta or Chicago. So I think Calipari will continue to get these 18, 19-year-old kids. They're going to make it to the NBA and be terrific players, but then they're going to get into March, and with NIL changing everything, you're going to see these 18, 19-year-olds playing more and more against 21, 22-year-olds, and no matter how much potential those young kids have, at that point, they're going up against much more experience, and we see what the results have been.
Major League Baseball opening day is tomorrow. Are the Yankees fielding a team this year?
Yes, the Yankees are fielding a team. Are they going to be playing deep into October? I highly doubt it. I just don't think there's enough pitching on that team. Soto's going to be a beast. Judge is going to be a beast. You know, they have hitters, but you've got to at some point be able to shut some teams down with pitchers. And other than Garrett Cole, I don't have very much confidence in that pitching staff. Now, if you were able to tell me that you have Ohtani on the staff and you were able to look at the over-under in number of total runs during those games, then I'm much more interested in baseball at this time. But unfortunately, Ohtani's down the West Coast.
He is. And got himself in a bit of a quagmire, it would seem. Do you believe him that he's not betting on baseball as his rogue interpreter who stole $4.5 million from him?
Well, I mean, never underestimate the stupidity of people. If you're making that kind of money, why on earth would you ever put yourself in that position? But why on earth would you ever even put yourself in a position to have somebody around you that would do something that stupid? What was it? The moral authority, Pete Rose, got on social media the other day.
No, he didn't. If he
had an interpreter, he never would have had any of these problems.
That's pretty good.
Really funny line.
Okay, that's pretty good. That's pretty good for Pete.
It is. I'm not a Pete Rose guy at all, but that's really funny. And there's a lot of truth to it. I mean, there's a huge hypocrisy in all these sports now embracing gambling, and then you know, clutching their pearls when something like this happens. I mean, what exactly did they think was going to happen here? Did they think there was never going to be any issue with gambling? I mean, once you know, what's the old, you know, let the fox in the hen house and see what happens? I mean, that's where we're at.
I'm surprised we've made it this far, quite frankly.
Well, yeah, I mean, have you guys seen the news today? Charlie Baker apparently put out a statement about the NCAA and wanting to restrict
prop bets.
Yeah, prop bets. Yeah. And there's somebody in the NBA who's currently
Porter.
Porter's suspended right now and under serious investigation for, like,
yeah, it's going well.
Point shaving and unders.
Well, we see what baseball's hoping is that, like, this Ohtani story just goes away once the games start. And it's a huge story, obviously, because he's the best player in the game. But this isn't going to be it. I mean, you're just going to have little things like this are going to happen constantly. They've already been happening. They've happened in every professional sport. And there's absolutely no reason to think that it just won't do anything but increase as the years continue.
Mark, have you seen the new Roadhouse yet?
No. No, I have not. I'm refusing to watch this thing. It is
really
a complete affront to all that is great with the original. No, I'll say this. I read one review on Esquire, and it basically made it come out to be like, this is a throwback movie. It's great. Lots of fighting and drinking and swearing and everything. It's just, it's great. And then anybody else that I've actually talked to who's actually watched it has said that it's just awful. So maybe there'll be some point where I'm having a bad day and I'm saying, let's just make this thing worse. And I'll hate watch that movie. Maybe that's going to come sometime down the line. I will admit I did that with Point Break, and the remake of Point Break was just as bad as I could have imagined. And unfortunately, I have no reason to believe that the same wouldn't happen if I watch Roadhouse 2024.
Yeah. Certain movies shouldn't be remade. Mark's right.
No. Well, Hollywood's out of ideas.
Yeah. Just like, yeah. I don't think people should really cover the Beatles or the Stones. Some things shouldn't be done.
No, don't mess with perfection.
All right, Mark. We appreciate your time, my friend. How are we doing on these potholes on I-40? That coming
along
well?
You got to bring that up.
The potholes are being patched.
Good.
Do you want me to go into full spokesperson mode?
Yeah, sure. Mark Nagy's putting down his hard hat and his ice pick, his pickaxe, and is going to now tell us what's going on with the I-40 potholes that were so bad this winter.
Yes. Well, guys, our crews are out on the roadways each and every day patching potholes statewide. That's all 95 of our Tennessee counties. As the weather is getting warmer, it means they're going to be able to get out there and do more of our long-term resurfacing as those asphalt plants are opened up. And then in all seriousness, though, guys, if you do see our crews on the roadways, please slow down. Please move over if you're able to, because they're doing extremely dangerous work trying to keep our roads efficient and, most importantly, trying to keep our roads safe.
You've got that spiel down. I mean, you take on this kind of NPR weather person kind of effect when you go, we've got a low-pressure system moving into –
Did you not hear him say this is a dangerous, dangerous job? He's wanting him –
Oh, he's a professional. No. I'm complimenting him.
He's
very good.
No, I mean, this is a bachelor's degree from SUNY Geneseo, a master's degree from the great University of Tennessee, and I'm trying to relay that type of experience. What's the Dave Hart line? I've got a level of experience and a level of information.
I have a level of information that nobody else has.
Greatest quote in the history of Tennessee press conferences?
That's a top five. It's absolutely a top five. One of these days, I'm going to do some sort of T-Dot story, and I'm going to just say that word for word just for no reason.
I mean,
when it happens, I'll make sure to let you guys know.
It needs to be on that X bio, the X account, your T-Dot account. That needs to be on your bio. I have a level of expertise and a level of information that nobody else has.
What I do wonder, though, and then I would just do it in quotes and then just do D period Hart, or in quotes and say the hitman.
Yeah, yes. The hitman would be good.
Very good. All right, Mark, we appreciate it, my friend. Have a great weekend.
Guys, great talking to you. We'll talk to you soon.
Mark Nagy, T-Dot Renaissance man, making his presence felt this afternoon. It's good about the potholes. It was kind of getting out of control for a while
there. Yeah. And that is, I drove past, because I'm a frequent traveler on 640, but there's no way I could.
Oh, it's like playing Frogger over there.
Could do that job. Could you imagine me?
Being the pothole guy? Like filling them?
Yeah, just oblivious to everything
Actually,
around me.
Actually, I can. If I didn't know anything about you.
You can see me being pothole sitting over there.
Yeah, the vest.
Leaned up
and
against
the hard
the shovel,
hat.
Telling
yeah,
the
not
young
doing
guys.
Anything. Not doing anything.
Like,
I'm
directing
on union
some young
time
kid,
right
like,
now. Yeah. Hey, get him some more light down there. He needs some more light.
I'm going to the store. Anybody want anything?
Stay with us. Then you're gone for 2.5 hours.
Got that right.
Stay tuned. More Fan Run Radio coming up right after this. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. Mark Nagy, Bear, what did you learn?
That as warmer weather is coming up, potholes are going to get fixed. Be careful out there for real.
Yankees are playing baseball this year?
Yeah.
I was looking at some of the line. I can't wait to place a baseball bet tomorrow. It's been too long. I love betting on baseball, man.
On opening day?
Yes. Especially on opening
day. Hey, you guys got to show me. I'm gonna move some baseball money into my account. I don't want to miss out on betting baseball this year.
What are we showing you?
How to
put money in, not how to bet, like how to physically make a transaction on your account.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
Can I get like
a How'd you do it initially? Just repeat.
Huh?
You've got you and the questions. How do I do this? How do I do that? Who's this? What's that?
Well,
what are you doing? What's happening right now? I watch you for 3 hours every day just staring at your phone. I know you know how to use it. Just ask it. You've got the magical computer. You have the Wizard of Oz in your hand. All the questions you ask us live on the air, all the thought fragments you just utter into your microphone in front of thousands of people, you could do privately.
I have some friends like that, though. I get it. They'll text me, like, hey, what's the address for this place? And I'm like, Google the place.
On the thing you just sent this message to me on.
That was for
your
wedding.
You already have your answer.
That was for your wedding, okay?
Wait, what?
When I texted you what the
address. He's talking about other people now.
I wasn't talking about you.
Actually, you were. You just didn't know it.
No, yeah, well. But I wasn't. Until I knew that I was. That wasn't a shot. That was just, friends.
I didn't have the invitation with me. I was just texting you because I wanted to know the address where you're getting married.
Jesus. No, don't get mad at me.
Being friends with you two is hard. I'm telling you
I wasn't talking about you until I was,
so apparently. So mean.
He wasn't talking about you.
Until
you made it. About you until you inserted yourself into his conversation that had nothing to do with you.
I thought he was taking a shot.
No, but I have friends. It's like, hey, what's the address for Thompson Bowling Arena? I'm like, are you kidding me? You just put it in, and there you go.
King of the brackets.
The brackets.
We have, you want the top three, king of the brackets going into the Sweet 16 weekend?
Yes, sure. But only after I have found my ranking. One moment. This is important to me.
Mine's rather atrocious.
I'm in 29th out of 500.
Where am I?
You're in 29?
Yeah. Last I checked, that was like 400 something. It's bad.
You're in 29th?
That's what the thing says.
Good on you. I'm a
level of expertise.
356.
Where am I?
Again, the questions. The thing that
I can't get logged back
in your hand. It's in your. You can figure this out.
What's your team name?
Just
Tiger Team.
Just I can't forgot
the
password.
Tiger. The head of the Tiger Team can't get logged into his ESPN Plus account.
It forgot password. It'll send you a little passcode and it'll log you right back in.
Don't patronize me, Tucker.
I'm just trying to help you out. You're asking for it.
In first place. In first place with 540. Points, Phantomas picks. Phantoma! Reach back between my legs. Ease the seat down. In second place, it's Kel's bracket. And in third place, D.R. Vol.
Ooh.
Wow.
With 520 points, he's in striking distance.
Who does he have as his champion?
UConn.
Went safe, huh?
So, just looking through here, I don't see what's your name on this thing, Bear?
The Atomic Pope.
Of course it is. I don't see you on the first page there. A lot of people tied in fourth, but those are the top three: Phantoma, Kel's bracket, and Dr. Vol. J.M. Haynes chances because he's the only one with Purdue. He's tied for sixth, so he's got a shot there. Hey, It's Me is tied for fourth, and he's got Tennessee as his champion, so that's interesting. I've got Tennessee as my champion as well. Speaking it into existence as we get down to it here this afternoon on the program, 865-546-8200, your number to get on the show this afternoon, 546-8200. And let's lead off with Trey. Good afternoon, Trey. You're on the drive.
Hey, guys. I guess I'll start my three-minute timer now.
Ding.
First and foremost, have you guys topped Bear point spreads yet?
Several times, yes. I don't know if it's taken.
Okay. Just curious, because it seems like that's still an ongoing issue. So I didn't know.
Don't worry about it.
But it's kind of fundamental to your job, so. Just saying.
It's really
anyway.
Not.
Okay, I'll let you simmer on that one, buddy.
What were we? We were up to 4.5. Houston is asking me because I haven't made my emotional hedge bet yet on Creighton.
I may have misheard. I heard that on the morning show, but maybe that was
up to 4.5.
Maybe that was
point.
An alternate line.
Because I still got 2.5. It was at 3, and I'm kicking myself for not taking
it. It did get up to 3.5? Okay.
No, it was at 3.
Oh,
flat.
3 flat.
Like, if it gets back to 3, I'm going to go ahead and take that. I'll take it no matter what. If it stays at 2.5, if it gets down to 2, 1.5, I'll take it at. Closer to the game, but got to make that emotional hedge there. It's worked. Gotten us this far, Trey.
I'm right there with you, Russ. I'm going to keep donating to the cause, buddy.
There you go. Buy our way to Phoenix.
I feel like, it's my bad betting luck that just keeps us in this thing. Like, it's,
sure.
Two immovable forces. I mean, I've got to lose a bet, and Tennessee has to lose in March. I mean, the universe has to sort out one of those two things every night. So, anyway, guys, we've talked about what will it take for the Barnes bashing to stop. What's it going to take for the Gainey bashing to stop? Particularly, Stevie. Like he's played really well in the tournament. I mean, he's a solid bench player.
It's not going to stop from Stevie.
Or Willie.
Either one of those guys. Stevie's committed to the bit.
I mean, it's a good question. I don't know. Is it going to be if Gainey drops 20 and we make the Elite Eight, I mean, would that do it, or does it just persist? It just becomes a thing. Is it like our emotional hedge betting? He does it because he feels like it's actually helping Tennessee's cause.
I think he thinks it's funny. And the Stormtrooper bit was funny at first, but it's lost its luster, Stevie. You need to find the new bit. And the better Jordan Gainey plays, the less funny it is.
He's workshopping applesauce now.
I don't like that at all. That one just straight up objectively is not funny. So
he said you're not the boss of him. I mean, that's going to be his response.
I'm just giving my opinion. People disagree with me. They voice their opinion. But anyway, guys, I'll make this quick on the way out. Russ, I applaud you for trying to make the drive more like KSR. So it's cutting people off. But I will advise you one thing. Do not go full Matt Jones, and definitely don't go full Nate Hodges. Otherwise, Nate's selling chlorine right now. So,
thanks for the call.
Bye bye, boss. Boss. Boss.
Going after the Godfather. What are we doing here?
2 days in a row, Nate Hodges taking shots. Guy's been gone for 2 months. He's still getting hammered.
Smashed!
I didn't think Trey ever called into that show. Like, what are you doing? Nate kept it. He kept it moving.
You got to keep things moving, man. A part of this job is traffic cop. I've always said.
The Matt Jones thing was a little out of line.
You're a little out of line yourself.
Yeah, I didn't know. Thank you for trying to make your show more like KSR. That felt real, but then he compared it. There's something off about that call to me.
Tony Vitello, I will never understand the Tennessee fans that, obsess about the it's the same people that want to rip on TJ for calling our show, right, who spend all their time listening to the Kentucky show or Feinbaum.
Well, sure.
Tony Vitello coming up in hour number 3 of the show. Fresh off a win last night against a team that had been his kryptonite the past couple of years, and Tennessee Tech, and getting ready for big weekend series against Georgia at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. I guess that is the one good thing about the 10 o'clock tip is, I mean, that will be a fun night. And that'll take some of the edge off, I think, too. And that it did for me in the Texas game where
100%.
I was watching baseball. I know there were other basketball games happening, but I was watching baseball. And I actually had – I was trying to do both for most of the first half. I had the baseball game going on my phone.
I had it on my computer.
And it got – the basketball nerves slowly got to me. And then when we started blowing it in the ninth inning, I was just like, all right, I can't – I just got to – I got to let it go. I got to let it go. And I let baseball go, and we lost. But hopefully this game will be over by the time we actually tip off. I'd say it's pretty likely. 6:30, first pitch. So hopefully done around 9:30-ish.
Yeah, should be.
Or before. We run rule them, which would be awesome.
And might even – we've been run ruling everybody.
Except in that one.
All our wins.
Except in those games we lose, which is frustrating.
All our wins have been run rule wins. But, yeah, hopefully, and it'll be victorious. And I'd say if you're really a daring gentleman of leisure, you could probably get down, watch the game at Lindsey Nelson, drink from the keg of glory, and still get home by the time tip-off. I mean, that would be the ultimate double right there. So, Vitello, in hour number 3, stay with us. The top 4 at 4 coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.